Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jessica Callahan, and we're going to talk today about raising healthy eaters. And I want to talk just a little bit about some of your background with that. I mean, I know you have kids, and I know that you're raising them as healthy eaters, but you've also taught classes, so you do have a lot of experience with children and meals.
I taught classes for North Coast parents, and I also taught at the Family Resource Center, but I have a background down in Monterey as a parent educator.
Okay.
So I educated families, and I used to be a preschool teacher.
So when you were a preschool teacher, you also had to provide snacks for the kids.
We had to provide healthy, nutritious snacks and lunches and breakfast oftentimes. And they had to meet a state requirement of what a nutritious meal was.
So let's talk about, you know, a little bit about the pre-programming. I mean, I think we all know that we're just pre-programmed to love salt, sweet, and fat, and sometimes all together in one big group. So how does that kind of play into helping children to be healthy eaters?
Well, babies are predispositioned to naturally love sweet foods. Breast milk is sweet. And so it's sweet that they love. A lot of people give their first foods as bananas, another sweet food, and fruits, peaches, and so forth. So in the early years of the life, you're getting a lot of sweet food. And then comes in the salts and the carbs and the pastas and things. Vegetables like broccoli and asparagus. A child's tongue is a lot more sensitive than an adult tongue. And so things like broccoli and asparagus that have a strong flavor are already going to be a little hard for a child to accept. And they might shy away from it. But finding the vegetables in the fruits that are sweet, like carrots and peas and everything, help get them in that habit. It meets the needs of that craving of the sweeter things that aren't too overpowering, but still gives them their vegetables and so forth. So then you can slowly start to introduce the vegetables as they get a little older that have a stronger flavor that they might kind of shy away from at the beginning.
I always tell children when they try something and they say they don't like it, I say, try again in a couple of years. Trust me, some things I didn't like as a child, I love as an adult. And I think just staying interested in food and continually trying new things, I think really helps.
When my child says, oh, I don't like that, I will say, maybe you don't like the way I prepared it. You know, Brussels sprouts boiled has a very different flavor than Brussels sprouts roasted. And so if your child says, oh, I really don't like that food, they could. You know, there's a natural thing where some people just don't like bell peppers, and they never learn to like bell peppers, and we all have that. But also helping them understand, really didn't like the way it was prepared, and I would say, okay, well, maybe next time we'll try roasting those vegetables. There are kids who love raw carrots and will eat raw carrots. They don't like them cooked. Another aspect for kids is texture, and I think as adults we forget how much texture comes into play. Squishy foods, things that don't feel right in their mouth may have a feeling of, I don't like that food, where it's the texture is really what they don't like.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. I knew that, you know, that there were flavors that maybe the way that their taste buds are when they're young. And what always surprised me too is cultures that have really strong flavored foods. And how do they get those flavors to those kids without them, you know, being shocked and surprised by them?
That was always my interest. Years ago, when I'd studied children nutrition and I had been teaching for a while, I got the opportunity to go to Thailand. And, you know, here is a country where food is really spicy and very strongly flavored. And I watched how they do it. A lot of it is, you know, they take the staple of rice and they add a little bit at a time and slowly give those foods to those kids. It just becomes part of it. Another part we forget is just sitting down and eating and the adults having the conversations and enjoying the food and liking it and then giving little bits to the kids. And it slowly becomes part of their regular diet.
Interesting, too, to me is the idea of giving small portions, because I think sometimes kids are overwhelmed by a big plate full of food.
They are. When you're introducing a new food, give them just a little bit. It's not so scary to try a bite when there's just a little bit of that expectation. But when you have a pile of a new food that you've never seen before, it is. It's overwhelming, and you're more likely to have a kid shut down and not even try it.
Now, what tips might you have for going to a restaurant?
In terms of behavior or getting them to try new foods?
Probably both.
Okay. Well, in terms of behavior, having things for them to do, I bring what I call my pack, which is paper and crayons. Some restaurants do that now, but not all of them do. Having them have activities that they like to do that are quiet, that will entertain them while they're waiting for their food. And that can be really hard for a child. Everyone around them is eating food, then they say what they want, and they have to wait for it to come. And that's really, really hard. So having things for them to do, and then the big part, conversation, talking with your child and sitting down. Those family meals are important, even in a restaurant. As for trying new foods, you know, at a restaurant, it's good to try and keep it safe. But maybe you ordering something that they might be willing to try and offering them a little bit.
I think that's a great idea. Now, when you're transitioning babies to solid food, what are some suggestions for doing that?
You know, if you've been breastfeeding, a lot of parents add breast milk to whatever food that they are trying out. Carrots with a little pureed carrots with breast milk. So it has that kind of familiar flavor to the child. There's a lot of literature out there on starting babies with solid foods. And one idea is, you know, an avocado, which people don't think is really a perfect solid food to start a baby on. Everybody thinks bananas, but an avocado, it's got the omega-3s. It's a wonderful, perfect food to start. It mashes up and it's not overly sweet.
And it's not really strong tasting in any way. It's kind of that buttery, smooth texture as well.
And, you know, it's one of those things. The more you whip it, the smoother it becomes. Being patient, it takes about 10 to 15 times of trying things. And, you know, baby will push it out of its mouth and a parent might think, oh, she doesn't like it. Whereas she's just playing with the texture and getting used to having something like that in their mouth. So being patient, understanding, and remembering they don't eat that much. So we often overwhelm them with food. And I think every parent has a story where they keep feeding, and then it all comes back out. And they have small stomachs. And keeping the meals frequent and not as big. Another thing to remember, it's very important, is the three-day rule. Because of food allergies, you want to introduce a food, but you want to wait 3 days before you introduce a new food. So you don't want to do avocados one day and then pears the next day. You want to do avocado and then wait a few days and then introduce the other food. So if you've introduced avocado and you don't have any sort of reaction and the baby starts to really enjoy it, you keep feeding them that and then you slowly introduce carrots.
Okay. Now, one of the things I think about is all these busy parents and trying to make baby food and make their regular food. And one of the things I heard recently that was interesting was the idea of, depending on what it is you're having for dinner, but maybe pureeing some of your regular dinner that everybody else is eating for the baby to try.
That's a great idea. And I did it a lot. You know, you want to be past that window. There are certain windows of introducing foods. But if they're a year old or 9 months and they've pretty much introduced most food, yeah, puree a little bit. And it's a good way to slowly introduce spice.
Now, one of the things that I've heard you talk about too is just, you know, having some of those things that you want them to eat just handy when they get to the table.
Right. You know, I always say for parents who really want to get their kids to eat vegetables is take advantage of that time while you're cooking dinner. Before it's out, when they're coming in and saying, is dinner ready yet? Is dinner ready yet? And I'm hungry. Having a platter of vegetables just cut up on the table and saying, well, dinner's not ready yet, but help yourself to a snack. They're more likely to grab it, eat it. Even if they're the type who are a little wary of vegetables or parents feel that, you know, they're not vegetable eaters. When you're hungry, you're more willing to try things and eat it. And it almost becomes second nature. So taking advantage of that. Also, having the vegetables on the table and maybe not making a big deal about it at dinner time and just eating it and passing it around. Even if you don't offer the child, if they see you eating it and enjoying the food, they're going to be more likely to try it themselves, even without thinking. If they're engaged in conversation, you're having a nice conversation around the table and eating and just grabbing that carrot stick and munching down on it while you guys are talking. I have a story of a parent who had some green beans on their child's plate and the kid didn't want to eat the green beans at the beginning. And then they were talking and enjoying a conversation and the child started picking up the green beans. And by the end of the story, the green beans were gone and the child couldn't even believe that they'd eaten them.
Voila.
Voila.
Well, this is great. These are great tips on helping your children to be healthy eaters. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Jessica Callahan. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Right here. crepes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.